الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة حاميم السجدة اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكه ولا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وابشروا بالجنه التي كنتم توعدون نحن اولياؤكم في الحياه الدنيا وفي الاخره ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم ربنا اجعلنا من عبادك المخلصين آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh The ayat of the Quran that I have just recited to you There are seven ayat from Surah Hamim al-Sajda Actually They comprise the fourth lesson of the part one of our selected course of study. And also the brochure which was published in that it was lesson number four. But I decided to place it in the part two after Surah At-Taghabun which we nearly completed yesterday. The reason is that number one, the highest level of a mu'min for which there are two terms. Number one, Ihsan. And number two, Wilayah. I shall discuss these terms later on. Martabai Ihsan, Martabai Wilayah. Now actually, in these ayat, this highest level of the mu'min is discussed. And it can be easily understood only after the study of Surah At-Taghabun. So this is actually more appropriate place that when we have studied Surah At-Taghabun and we have come to know what are the changes that should take place in the feelings and thinking and attitude and behavior of a mu'min if he has real iman. As we have studied them in Surah At-Taghabun, the second section, second ruku of Surah At-Taghabun, Now it is easy to understand this passage of the Quran. And the reason number two is that because for the last four lessons, we are engaged in detailed discussions about Iman only. So I wanted to revive the comprehensive view of the duties of a Muslim. We should have before us always the comprehensive view of the duties of a Muslim, or in other words, the comprehensive view of the prerequisites or preconditions of salvation. As I told you, in the first part of this selected course of study, we have four lessons. All four of them give us the same four conditions for salvation and success in the hereafter, which we have in Surah Al-Asr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Then we have the same four things discussed in a bit different terminology, in a bit different context in Ayat al-Birr, which was the second lesson. The same four things again appeared in section 2 of Surah Al-Luqman. Again, the terms are different, the context is different, but we have the same four things. We shall find the same four things discussed here in these seven ayat of Surah Hamim Sajda. And now when we have discussed in length some basic questions regarding Iman, now actually when we study this fourth lesson of the part one, again before us will come the comprehensive view of the duties of a Muslim or the comprehensive concept of the conditions of salvation according to the Quran. But before we begin with this lesson, we have to pay some debt of the previous lesson which is remaining. The ayah number 16 of Surah Al-Taghabun, we took 2 hours complete in discussing it. Because it is one of the most profound ayat of the Quran. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَاطِيعُوا وَأَنْفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And incidentally, it might be of interest to you. Here again we have four words, four terms. Just as in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. There are other examples also. That four terms appear in one ayah as conditions for falah. For example, in the last ayah, Surah Ali Imran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Again, the same four. Then we have in the last but one ayah, Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَفَعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So it is only of interest that in so many ayat of the Quran, these four imperatives are repeated. Here we found فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ number one. وَاسْمَعُوا number two. وَاطِيعُوا number three. And number four, وَأَنْفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And now the last part of that ayah is وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. We have two basic terms here of the Quran. يُوقَ means who has been saved. As I told you, وَقَى يَقِي means saving. Ittaqa yattaqi means to save yourself. Waqa yaqi means to save somebody, some other person. As we say, waqina azaban nar, O our Lord, save us from the punishment of fire. The same word is here, waman yuqa, and whosoever is saved, waman yuqa shuhha nafsihi, from the greed of his nafs, from the greed of his baser self, from the greed of his id or libido. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So only such people are muflihin. Only they are successful. They attain the falah. Now regarding falah, it's a very fundamental, basic and profound term of the Quran. I will be discussing this term in detail, inshallah, in the first lesson of part 3, inshallah, which will be taking, inshallah, shortly on Saturday, the coming Saturday. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That lesson starts with this word, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. The word falah means, we shall discuss later in detail. Here, suffice it to say, it means success. Only those people will attain success who are saved from the greed of their baser self. Now what's the difference between bukhul and shuh? Bukhul we find in Quran also, it's a term used in Urdu language also, bukhul, bakhil. So what's the difference between bukhul and shuh? Although they are very near to each other in their meanings, so to say synonymous, but please note it, that no two words of a language can be absolutely synonymous. If they are two words, there is definitely some difference. So what's the difference between bukhl and shuh? Shuh means the greed to have more and more, to get more. And bukhl, to retain whatever is with you, not to spend it. So actually the concept is complementary. But these are the two sides of the same picture. To have more, to grab more, to get more, and to retain whatever is with you, not to spend it, not to give it to anybody. This is bukhl and that is shuh. So here this word shuh has been used. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا اجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. May Allah include us among those people. Now I am going to ayah number 17. Now ayah number 17 is, إِن تُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ شَكُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. If you give a loan to Allah, but a good loan, He will surely double it for you. يُضَاعِفُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And He will forgive you. وَاللَّهُ شَكُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. Verily Allah is شَكُورٌ and حَلِيمٌ. I will discuss the meaning of these two words later. Now what's the good loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything. And now He says, loan me out something. Give me as a loan. What does it mean? Actually there are two kinds of charity. If you want to spend something for the pleasure of Allah, there are two heads. Number one, to give to the poor, to the widows, to the orphans, to the needy, to the traveler, to the beggar. That we had in Ayat al-Birr. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. For this head of spending for the cause of Allah, the basic terms of the Quran are sadaqat and zakat. These two words are used for this head of spending for the pleasure of Allah. Second head is to spend for the deen of Allah, to propagate the message of Allah, to propagate the wisdom and knowledge of the Quran, to convey it to the others. You need money. You have to publish things. You have to use media, and media can only be purchased. You have to spend. Then you have to spend your time to learn, and time is money. Then to establish the deen of Allah, to make jihad for the cause of Allah, you need money. So actually the second head is, when you are spending your money for the deen of Allah, whether it is for the propagation of the da'wah of Allah, of the deen of Allah, or it is for the needs of a revolutionary struggle to establish the deen of Allah. So this is actually what Quran says, number one, it is infaq fi sabilillah. It is jihad fi sabilillah bil maal. And the third is qarz for Allah. Because the deen is of Allah. And what's the object of the iqamati deen? To establish the kingdom of Allah on earth. Kingdom of heaven on earth, thy kingdom come. So that the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established. So whatever you spend for this cause, Allah says it is qarz, it's loan for me. Because you have spent it for my deen, for establishing my sovereignty over earth. So this is actually a higher form. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling it a loan to me. إِن تُقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. If you give loan to Allah, but it should be قَرْضِ حَسَنًا, good loan. What does it mean? It should be with sincerity of your heart, with the purity of intentions, not to show off to the others, not for getting any name or fame in this world, not to have any reward in this world. The only aim should be, as we have discussed it in detail in the second lesson, that is Ayat al-Birr. It must be for the pleasure of Allah alone. And number two, its reward should be only for in the Akhirah. That's all. No reward, no return here in this world. These are the conditions of a loan to Allah, if it is to be declared or accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a good loan. But if you are really giving a good loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now there are two promises. Number one, yuza'ifu lakum. This will be doubled. And actually, az'afan muza'afa. He will double it. He will make it 70 times, 700 times, because there is a simile in Surah Al-Baqarah that takes it to 700 times. On the one hand, it will be increased. On the other hand, and in addition to that, there will be forgiveness for your sins. Whatever errors you have done, committed, they will be forgiven. So that is going to be a double reward of qarz to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if this qarz is really good. Now this ayah ends with two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu shakurul haleem. Shakur, now this is the word. In Quran it is used for both Allah and the abd, the bondsman, the mu'min. But we translate it for the mu'min as grateful, thankful. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, I'm personally ready to use the same word because the Arabic root is the same, the word is the same. But most of the translators have translated it as Allah appreciates. If you are doing something for Him, at least I can say He's not thankless. If you have done something for Him, He appreciates. And He will actually give you the reward. So this is the same word shakur, which we discussed in the third lesson. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. So actually it's a two-side phenomenon. If you have the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beneficent, is your sustainer, whatever good is coming to you is coming from Him, then you are thankful to Him. All gratitude and all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But if a banda a mu'min, a bondsman to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he is doing something for the sake of Allah, Allah is also, he also is thankful to that banda. I'm ready to use this word, there's no harm. And in the same way, haleem, what is haleem? Someone, you know, self-possessed, who doesn't react instantaneously. If somebody has done something wrong to you, and you are taking revenge immediately, you are retaliating, you are reacting immediately, impulsively. That is actually a lower level of human character. But if you are self-possessed, you are not reacting immediately, you give him time, maybe he repents, maybe he rectifies his ways and means. So actually this is him. Whosoever, and here also the translation that has been done is his forbearing. And forbearance is again for the people, human beings. For some we use this word forbearance. Steadfastness, forbearance. But the same word is used here as translation for haleem. But the essence is that a person or a personality which is not reacting immediately, if something wrong is done, is taking it calmly. He's giving time to that person. Maybe he repents. Maybe he mends his ways. No step immediate. It is haleem. So Allah is shakur, Allah is haleem. Now why these two names of Allah have been added here? If you do something for Allah, if you spend your money for the cause of Allah, you shakur. And if you are doing and behaving miserly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He is haleem. He doesn't punish you immediately. He is giving you latitude. He is giving you time. Maybe that you can mend your ways. Maybe that you repent on your attitude. So these two words are very logically connected with the main subject of the ayah. إِن تُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ شَكُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. And now the last ayah of Surah Al-Taghabun, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Again, three attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first here is the same. Four or five times this attribute of Allah has been repeated in this surah. That is knowledge. His omniscience. He knows everything. We found وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And now again, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. He knows whatever is present before you. and he knows whatever is hidden from you. Because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is nothing hidden. There is no ghaib for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this word ghaib comes in the Quran, it is regarding us. Because those realities of this universe which are hidden from us, angels belong to a hidden world, we can't see them. In the same way, jinns, they belong to the hidden world, we can't see them. Akhirah, arsh, all these things. Then Allah himself, actually we can't see him. These eyes can't see him. Actually all this is ghaib for us, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jannah, the Jahannam, all these are ghaib for us, not for Allah. So when there are words in the Quran, Alimul Ghaib wa Shahada, what does it mean? Everything that is before you and that you can see, he knows that also. And all those things that are hidden from your eyes, you can't see them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows them also. Alimul Ghaib wa Shahada, Al-Azizul Hakim. These two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they appear in this collection of the Madani surahs. I told you, 10 surahs. The biggest number of Madani surahs is collected here. From Surah Al-Hadid, it's the last surah of the 27th part of the Quran. Till Surah Al-Tahrim, which is the last surah of the 28th part. These are 10 surahs Madanis. And 5 of them start with Sabbaha lillah wa yusabbihu lillah. And please note, in 4 of these, in the first ayah you have this pair of the names of Allah, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Surah Al-Hadid starts, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Surah Al-Hashr starts, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Surah Al-Saff starts, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Surah Al-Jumu'ah starts, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمُ. 4 surahs contain this pair of divine names, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. And we have 2 surahs which are ending with these 2 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one is this, Surah Al-Taghabun, Alimul Ghaib wa Shahadatil Aziz Al-Hakim, Aziz Al-Hakim. And Surah Al-Hashr, يُصَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. This is very pertinent. Why these 2 names come together? They are complementary in their meanings. Who is Al-Aziz? The one whose authority is absolute. No limitations on his authority. Absolute authority. But because in our thinking, in the axiom, it's the axiom of political science, authority tends to corrupt. And absolute authority corrupts absolutely. That is why we have in the constitution checks and balances. Where there is some authority, there should be some checks and balances. Lest this authority goes the wrong way. It is corrupted. It goes astray. But Allah is the one whose authority is absolute. But this authority is used with his hikmah. Whereas he is Al-Aziz, he is Al-Hakim also. His wisdom is also complete. Absolute wisdom. Absolute authority, absolute wisdom. So absolute wisdom is balancing the absolute authority. Authority of Allah can't be corrupted. Why? Because it is He is Al-Hakim also. On the one hand, His authority is absolute, but side by side with His absolute authority, His wisdom is absolute. So actually when these 2 things come together, this is a complementary concept. And this pair of the divine names appears in Quran many times. Together. And here I have told you, in these surahs, 6 times Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. And this has a very close relationship to the concept of Allah that is, He is Malik. Al-Malik, Lahul Mulk. In the very first ayah of this surah, Taghabun, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Lahul Mulk wa Lahul Hamd. Twice in Surah Al-Hadid, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah also, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. In Surah Al-Hashr also, الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ. What does it show? That the most important aspect of Islam is that it has a political system of itself. without a political system, Islam becomes only a mazhab, it becomes a ritual, it becomes only a dogma and nothing else. Actually, Islam is not only a dogma, it's not only a mode of worship, it's also a complete system of life. And the political aspect of Islam is the most important. There should be a kingdom of Allah on earth. He is the only rightful owner, rightful ruler of this world. Whosoever is claiming to be sovereign or claiming sovereignty for him, actually he is the rebel. He is in revolt against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever is faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's his first and foremost duty to put down this rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establish the kingdom of Allah on earth. So that is actually the most important aspect of our deen. That is why Al-Aziz, the one who has the absolute authority, لا يشرك في حكمه أحدا إن الحكم إلا لله. There can be no sovereignty except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allama Iqbal has said very beautifully, Sarwari zeba faqat us zaate behamta ko hai, hukmara hai ik wohi baqi butane azari. And with these words, I now end this discussion. It has taken us 6.5 hours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial and useful for anybody who is listening to these things, that he should make a firm resolve that he has to live and he has to die for the cause of Islam and for establishing the deen of Islam as a real living political, socio-economic entity in this world. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And now we come to this lesson of Surah Hamim al-Sajda, which I've told you that this is actually in our selected course of study. It's the fourth and the last lesson of part one. But I have placed here because it's the most appropriate place, because we can understand these ayats most easily after we have studied Surah At-Taghabun. But please, as I have been discussing in most of the lessons in the beginning, some preliminary points. Here is again a preliminary point to note that these seven ayats belong to two rukus or two sections of Surah Hamim al-Sajda. I told you in the very beginning, in my first lecture, Introduction to the Quran, that this division of big surahs into rukus, or sections as you may call them, if you translate them, this was done after the days of the Sahaba. It was not there in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor it was present in the days of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. It was done later on. So you can differ with it. As far as the ayat is concerned, it is tawqifi, done by the Prophet himself. In the same way, surah, all surahs fixed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Actually, they cannot be changed. We have to take them. But these rukus, then into parts, division of the whole Quran into parts, these things they were done later, and you can have a difference of opinion. But I told you that mostly I have found that this ruku, division in ruku, is appropriate. And it seems that much labor had been put in to demarcate one ruku from the other, that one subject, one discussion is completed here, and a new discussion is starting from here. But here, there is an example that this demarcation of ruku is not correct. These seven ayat are an organic whole, and they have been divided by those who have fixed the limits of the rukus. The three ayat of this lesson, they belong to the fourth ruku and four to the fifth ruku of Surah Hamim al-Sajda. So this is one of the examples, and I told you this thing in the very beginning in my introductory lecture. Now the first ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Verily those who say, our Lord is Allah, our Master is Allah, our Benefactor is Allah, our Provider is Allah. Now this Rabb, you have to hold the profound meaning of this word Rabb. Must keep it in your mind. Our Provider, our Sustainer, our Protector, our Lord, our Owner, our Master is Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. This is the most important word now. And then they stick to it. They stood by it. They stood up to it. or they remained firm on it. To say out that I believe in Allah is easy. But to be equal to your statement, to be firm on this statement, to prove that you really believe in this statement, to prove that you are acting according to this statement, it's not an easy job. As I, you know, gave you a very beautiful couplet in Persian from Allama Iqbal. Chumi goyam musalmanam bilarzam ke danam muskilate la ilaha. When I say I am a Muslim, well, I tremble because I know how difficult it is to be a real Muslim. To say La ilaha illallah is very easy. A few words you can utter. No energy, no effort is required. La ilaha illallah. You can say it 1,000 times. But to be equal to it, to be firm on it, to stand by it, to stand up to it, it's not an easy job. What it will mean? Now we can have, you know, all those 5 things that we discussed in Surah At-Taghabun. If you really say your Rabb is Allah, you must not have any complaint against Him, His decision that comes to you. All that comes from Him, take it with serenity, without any complaint. It might be very unpleasant. Razi bi radai Rabb. Whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it must be beneficial for me in the long run. Although it seems to be unpleasant, harmful to me, presently. I've lost something, but nothing can come to me without His permission. And if it is His decision, well, I take it, it is my Lord. I have no complaint. Then the obedience. Wati'ullah, wati'ur Rasul. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Then total obedience. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. If you accept Him as your Lord, as your Master, you have to obey. And obey all the commandments. You can't discriminate. You can't say this commandment of Allah is acceptable to me and this is not acceptable to me. If you say, please note my words, if you are, this is practicable, this is impracticable. What does it mean? You are saying that Allah is not wise. Allah didn't know that the commandment that I am giving will become impracticable at some time. It's a vote of no confidence against the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you say some injunction of Quran and some commandment of Allah is impracticable, what does it mean? As I said, I am repeating my word. It's a vote of no confidence against the knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that is coming from Him is out of His absolute knowledge and wisdom. So you have to obey everything. You can't say, well, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Then number 3, you should put your trust, all your trust should be in His person. Don't trust any means. There is some misunderstanding about what I said about tawakkul. This thing has reached me that a brother said, well, he is saying, do nothing and have tawakkul on Allah. No, I never said this. Rather, I mentioned in express words, do everything that you can. If you are not doing, if you are leaving any stone unturned, which you could turn, then you are to blame. But having done everything, don't trust your own work. You must understand that the decision will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He decrees, if He approves, this thing will happen. If He does not approve, it will not happen. So actually do everything that you can. There is a very beautiful incident that took place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Bedouin came from outside in Medina. The Prophet was sitting sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his mosque. He saw that the Bedouin didn't tie the leg of the camel. He left the camel open and entered the mosque. You know, it was the practice of the Bedouins and the Arabs. They used to tie one of the legs so that the camel doesn't run away. With 3 legs, it can only hop, not run. So that was the practice. But when that Bedouin, Muslim Bedouin, he entered the mosque, the Prophet said he didn't tie the leg of his camel. Then he asked, why didn't you do it? He said, Tawakkaltu ala Allah. Well, I made tawakkul. I have tawakkul on Allah that He will protect this camel, and this camel will, He will keep it from running away. The Prophet said, no, go back. Iqilha, summa tawakkal. Go and tie the leg of the camel. And then have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't have tawakkul on your tying the leg. Maybe, if you have tied the leg, even then it can run away. Even then somebody can steal it. He can come and just open that rope and take it away. But have tawakkul on Allah after doing what you can do. Iqilha, tie the leg of that camel of yours, the she camel of yours, and then have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the teaching of Islam. But don't think that because I have these means, I can do this. No. Maybe you have all the means available at your disposal for some work. But even then, nothing will come out unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves it. So all these things. And then, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitnah. Now all these five things. And فَتَّقُلَّا مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَعَطِيعُوا وَأَنفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Add with these three commandments. Now see, if somebody has qualified to be a mu'min, when he says, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, and he is up to this point, then actually, then he has attained that level which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls wilayah. أَلَا إِلَّا أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَرُونَ. This is the level of Ihsan. How should we translate the word Ihsan? It's quite difficult. I told you, because of a foreign word which has creeped into our religious literature, that is Tasawwuf. Tasawwuf is not mentioned in Quran. Tasawwuf never appears in the whole collection of Ahadith. But this word, this term has entered our religious literature. It's so common, universally used. And what is the ill effect? The result is that we have just forgotten the word Ihsan, the highest level, Iman and Ihsan. First of all, Islam, then Iman, then Ihsan. But we understand from the word Ihsan only to do something good to anybody else. No. Ihsan actually is the level of beautiful relationship between you and your Rabb. If this relationship becomes beautiful, husn, Ihsan is from husn. The relationship between you and your Rabb is beautiful. It is Ihsan. That is the level of Ihsan. And that is, the other term is wilaya. Wali means friend. This wilaya, and this is a mutual friendship, relationship of mutual friendship between the Rabb and the bondsman, between Allah and the mu'min. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the wali of the people who really believe. And Allah awliya, inna awliya, Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. And the mu'mins actually, they are the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a mutual friendship. From the relationship of bondmanship, now you are raised to the status of friend. You were to begin with a bondsman to Allah. That's the starting point. But a bondsman of Allah. Maybe a bondsman becomes so dear to the master. He frees him, and then he, just as the Prophet himself, what did he do to Zayd ibn Harsa? He was a slave. He freed him, and then adopted him as his son. He became the adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ. The Arabs, when they used to free their slaves, then the slaves were called Mawla. Mawla in Arabic means, although this word has other meanings also, but the freed slave is also Mawla. Sauban radiallahu ta'ala was another Mawla of Muhammad ﷺ. That is, he was a slave of the Prophet and then he freed him. So actually, if somebody becomes a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he's a bondsman, but he becomes beloved. Allah loves him. Then Allah raises him to the status of his friend. He becomes a friend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a mutual relationship of friendship between Allah and mu'min, it is called wilaya. So actually this is the highest level a mu'min can attain in this world. And it can be denoted by the word ihsan. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. I quoted the ayah yesterday. لَيْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جُنَاحٌ فِيمَا طَعِمُوا إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Ayah number 93 of Surah Al-Maidah. So this status of ihsan and the status of mutual friendship between Allah and Mu'min, this is actually the status which is being discussed over here. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people who say, our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have accepted Him as our Lord, as our Master, as our Sustainer, as our Provider, as our Benefactor, as our Protector. And then they prove that they can stand to it. They stand to it. They remain firm on it by their practical behavior, by their thinking, their feelings. Then what happens to them? Let me, before going, proceed further, let me quote a hadith. It is from Abi Amr, Waqila Abi Amrat Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. Two names are given to a person, whether he was Abi Amr or Abi Amra. Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Qala qultu, he says, I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ. Please say to me only one thing in Islam, which would give me the whole essence of Islam. And it should suffice, so that I shouldn't have to ask anybody anything else. I want the whole essence of Islam in one word. قُلْ لِي, Ya Rasulullah, قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ. Then I will not ask anybody else. I shouldn't have the need to ask anything from anybody else. This is such a profound thing and such an essence of deen I want from you. The reply was, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Say, I believe in Allah. And then be firm on it. Firm on it in action. Firm on it in behavior. Firm on it in feeling. All the things which we have already discussed regarding Surah At-Taghabun. Keep all that things before your mind and then you will understand what does it mean. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, what does it mean? قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. And this is another proof that the real iman is iman billah. As I told you, in iman mujmal, there is no mention of other articles of iman. آمنت بالله كما هو بأسمائه وصفاته وقبلت جميع أحكامه إقرار باللسان وتصديق بالقلب. Now what is discussed here is إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة. Angels keep descending upon them. And what they say? Allah تخافوا. Have no fear. ولا تحزنوا. Have no grief. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. And rejoice with the great tidings of paradise, of heaven. أَلَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. About which you have been promised. This promise of Jannah. Allah made it to you. And because you have proved by your actions, by your behavior, that you really mean when you say آمنتُ بِاللَّهِ, that you really mean when you say قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, because you have proved it. So now angels keep on descending upon them and they bring the message, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا, have no fear, وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and have no grief either, وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, and rejoice with the glad tidings of Jannah, of paradise. Allati kuntum tu'adun, about which promises were made to you. Nahnu awliyaukum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. We are your friends. We are your protectors. In this worldly life, in the life of this world, as well as in the akhirah, in the hereafter. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا and in that hereafter, in that life, there will be for you مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ whatever will wish or desire your souls, whatever there are the wishes or desires or lusts in your souls, that will be fulfilled completely. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ in addition, you will be provided whatever you demand. نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ and this will be the first entertainment from that, from Allah, who is غَفُور, forgiving, and who is رَحِيم, who is merciful. So these three ayat, they correspond to three ayat of Surah Yunus, alayhi salatu wa salam. This martaba wilaya, this word is used here, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ we are your friends, we are your awliya. In this world also and in the hereafter also. Now you find in Surah Yunus, alayhi salatu wa salam, these are ayat numbers 62 to 64, three. And please note here also, you will find in the Quran at many places, in long surahs, either groups of three ayat which are most profound, very meaningful, integrated whole, or the groups of seven ayat. This figure 3-7, they seem to be very important. Anyhow, as I mentioned in the very beginning, there are three surahs of the Quran consisting of three ayat only. The figure of three has some relevance. We might not be able to understand the full meaning of this relevance, but there, the data is there. We find in the Quran in long surahs, three ayat, very important, very integrated, logically. And at some places you find seven ayat. Now we are studying the seven ayat of the Surah Hamim al-Sajda. They have become one organic whole. And now I am narrating to you the three ayat of Surah Yunus. And they are corresponding to the three ayat, the beginning of this lesson. What are those three ayat? Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The same word. Beware. Let it be known to you. Let it come home to you. But for the friends of Allah, there's nothing to fear and nothing to grieve. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. But who are those awliya Allah? Are they a special species of the same human beings? The same human beings. Awliya Allah, they are not a different species. The same homo sapiens. The same human beings. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ Simple. Who had real iman and real taqwa. Now just remember to the ayah of Surah Al-Taghabun which we have already studied. حَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَاتِعُوا وَأَنْفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ And the other ayah of Surah Al-Imran which I quoted. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Now if a person has real iman, real taqwa, real iman which is there in the heart, and if it is in the heart, it has permeated the whole personality. Because from heart, blood is circulating in the whole of your body. Each and every cell is getting into contact with this, otherwise it would die. In the same way, there is iman in the heart, not only on the tip of your tongue. I quoted the ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah number 14. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ وَآمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ These Bedouins are claiming we have come to believe. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have not at all come to believe. You may say you have become Muslims because the real iman has not as yet entered your heart. It's on the tips of your tongues. You are saying that you believe. You are saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, but that real iman has not entered your heart. So if real iman enters the heart of a person, it permeates the whole personality. And it transforms the whole personality, as we have studied in Surah Al-Taghabun. And then there will be taqwa. Not taqwa only in public. There will be taqwa when he is alone. Nobody is seeing him. But he knows, I am in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is seeing me. Now, if somebody has real iman and real taqwa, he is waliullah. He is the friend of Allah. He has qualified to be friend of Allah. So please note, these awliya Allah, they are not a different species. They are the same men, human beings, having the same blood and the same flesh. But they have real faith, real iman and real taqwa. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. And I have analyzed it logically. If there is real iman, there will be no fear. Why? Nothing can happen to me unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits. Nothing can do any harm to me unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided it for me. And if it is His decision, I accept it. He is my Lord. He is my Rabb. He must be meaning something good for me, not bad. Although immediately, timely, presently I feel that it is unpleasant. The injection is giving me some pain, but I know it's for my benefit. The doctor is giving me the injection. My arm has been amputated. It's a loss to me, but actually it's to save my life. I know it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if something unpleasant is coming to me, if it is from Him and it is from Him, then there is definitely, it's good, going to be good for me in the long run. So what to fear? And why to grieve? Whatever has happened with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very beautiful ayah. The mu'mins were ordered to say to the munafiqeen, this is in Surah Al-Tawbah, قُلْ say, O mu'min, لَنْ يُسِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Nothing can happen to us except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for us. And He is our Mawla. He is our friend. He is our sustainer. He is our well-wisher. So why can we fear anything? So لا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. It's not poetry, please. It's not rhetoric. It's simple logic. If there is real iman, if there is real taqwa, أَلَا إِنَّا أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And now the third ayah, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. For them there are good news in this life of this world also and in the akhirah. Bushra, always bushra. There's no grief, no khawf. And what is actually iman? Iman, the root of iman is amn. I quoted the ayah. فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. Whosoever believed in Allah without any involvement in shirk, in any form of shirk, pure iman, free from all forms of shirk, there is aman, peace, tranquility, inner satisfaction. Actually, that is the result, that's the fruit of iman. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun lahumul bushra fil hayati dunya wal akhirah. For them are the glad tidings in this world also and in the hereafter also. La tabdila li kalimati Allah. There can be no changing of the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zalika huwa al-fawzul azim. And this is the biggest success that a human can have and attain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that success. Now you compare these three ayat of Surah Yunus. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا والآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. And the three ayat of this lesson, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. Now here I want to make one point only before this session ends. One of the principles of the exegesis of the Qur'an is that الْقُرْآنُ يُفَسِّرُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. It's one of the basic principles. One part of the Quran explains the other part. When a student of Quran finds some difficulty in understanding some ayah or some place, first of all he should look to Quran itself, whether this subject has been discussed somewhere else also. Is there any other place in the Quran similar to this? Then you know he will find the light. Al-Quran wa yufassiru ba'dahu ba'dan. First of all, turn to Quran itself. If there is something brief somewhere, you will find it explained somewhere else. If there is something having two possible meanings, then you will find some other place where that word will be giving a definite meaning. And then actually, that is the best clue to understanding of the Quran. First of all, turn to the Quran itself. Then to the Hadith, to the explanation that Prophet ﷺ has given. That is the second. And so on. But the first principle is Al-Quran yufassiru ba'dahu ba'da. You keep these three ayat and those three ayat. Though if you compare, in the next lesson also, in the first lesson of the third section, third part of our selected course, we shall again have a very beautiful example of Al-Quran yufassiru ba'dahu ba'da. Very similar and very closely resembling ayat we find. The 11 first ayat of Suratul Mu'minun and about 19 ayat of Suratul Ma'arij. Exactly. And there are minor differences, and those differences are explaining each other. So that is one of the principles of the exegesis of the Quran, and this is very important for a student of the Quran, that I have, when we are discussing these two places, three ayat of Suratul Yunus, 62 to 64. And three ayat of Surah Hameen Fajda, 30 to 32. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.